Peace ends up with the line, "Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place." And we are here in his house, and we are promised his presence. Where even two or three are gathered in his name, there am I in the midst. The Lord promised himself, and his word is always faithful. So we're going to open our praise this evening as we come to worship him and enjoy his presence by singing 296, please, 296. "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean." But the marvellous words of the chorus remind us of the marvellous love to the Saviour, to his people. Let's stand and sing it through entirely, all five verses. Great words indeed to sing of the Saviour's love. Great words indeed helping us to think ahead and to look ahead to Easter, to this weekend next, when we shall remember the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the announcements come in that point of our service, you'll be reminded of our meeting together on Good Friday evening for a service in the hall behind, and then our services together next Lord's Day, Easter Sunday, as we celebrate the risen Lord Jesus. Let's sing 242, please, which remind us of this Sunday, which is commonly called Palm Sunday, when the Lord Jesus entered Jerusalem, not as a mighty conqueror, not as a king or a warrior leader on a horse with an army, but rather humbly on a donkey, and bringing the news and the message and the good news of the kingdom. He was there for their spiritual good, not to fight the Romans. And of course the crowd cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And that's reminded to us in this particular piece. There are two verses. We'll sing them both through this Palm Sunday, this Lord's Day evening. 2:4:2, singing both verses, please. Yes, indeed, the Lord entered Jerusalem humbly. And the minister's theme in the Beatitude this evening is, "Blessed are the meek." And of course, meekness is something that reminds us that we should not be self-advancing, self-asserting, self-promoting. But rather, as Christians, we should be promoting the Lord Jesus Christ. And he himself gave that great example, that he was not here for himself. He was not here to be served, but rather to serve and to give his life that we might live. We'll sing those words a little later. But let's sing a couple of other pieces that help us to pick up on that theme of meekness and indeed majesty. 465, please. 465. And we'll sing verse 1 and verse 2 together this evening. Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God. Is it one of the hymns? I've just had the organist nods at me, and then I know there's something wrong or something happening. I see that it's picked up in one of the hymns later this evening. We'll just sing verse 1 for now then. Let's just sing verse 1 since it's up on the screens anyway, because it helps set the theme for our service together this evening. Great minds think alike, as my mother would have said, and then she would have added on, "Fools seldom differ." So you can take your choice out of those two together this evening. But we'll sing that first verse, 465, of meekness and majesty. We find this in the Lord Jesus. He set the example. We should be his faithful followers. Washing our feet reminds us of that part of the Easter story where the Lord washed his disciples' feet, setting to them, impressing upon them that example of humility and service to others, which should be true to all Christians. Why are we special? We're not special because of anything in ourselves, but we're special to God, and he treats us and makes us special through what the Lord Jesus has done for us. 325, please. 325. I'm special. Why? Because God has loved me, for he gave the best thing that he had to save me. His own son, Jesus, crucified to take the blame for all the bad things I had done. It's a children's hymn, but it's a lovely hymn. And as we heard this morning, the children and the way of the child and the faith and the simple understanding and trust of a child is the way of salvation for the adult too. So let's sing it through and think about the words as we sing this lovely little piece tonight. 3, 2, 5. This is why we're special. This is why Easter's special. It reminds us of the Lord's love for us. Sing it again, please.
I'm special because God has loved me, for He gave the best thing that He had to save me, His own Son Jesus crucified, to take the blame for all the bad things I had done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me so much. I know I don't deserve anything. Help me feel Your love right now, to know deep in my heart that I'm Your special friend.
463, please. 4, 6, 3. Again, a lesson in humility, in meekness, not promoting ourselves, but rather being our best because Jesus is in us, and being our best because we want to share Him with others around us. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day, by His love and power controlling all I do and say. That's a great ask. That's a tall order. It's a challenge to us all as Christians to live that way every day. And we know we fail. But the Lord forgives and the Lord restores when we ask for it. And so going on to verses 4 and 5, where we're going to sing verse 1 and verse 4 and verse 5 tonight, that we want to be filled with His love and exalt Him and set ourselves down. And we want to run the race and be faithful to Him. I've often wondered how many of those people who were there on the Palm Sunday crying and cheering and shouting Hosanna and welcoming the Lord, as we've done in our opening praise tonight, how many were there again on the Good Friday outside Pilate's judgment hall crying, crucify Him, crucify Him. People are fickle. We're all fickle. The Lord is faithful. Let's trust in Him and be our best for Him. And we exalt Him, not ourselves. So verse 1 and 4 and 5 of 463, please. One sixteen, please. 1:16. Again, it reminds us that God has shown His love to us, and the Lord Jesus has shown His love to us by coming down, laying aside heaven's splendor and heaven's glory, coming down, humbling Himself, humbling himself as a servant, humbling himself unto death, even the death of the cross. And we're reminded in this piece, we're going to sing verse 1 and verse 2 tonight. Down from his glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. And verse 2 starts with the words, what condescension, bringing us redemption. Verses 1 and 2. And let's finish and let's stand again to sing 162, please. 162. And indeed, we'll just sing it through entirely. A Graham Kendrick hymn, verse 1, we often think back to Christmas. He came at Christmas. But the remaining verses and the whole theme of the hymn point us to Easter, point us to the servant king, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's stand and sing and let the words speak for themselves and remind us of the humility and the sacrifice of the Lord. That's our way of salvation. And that should be our way of worship and walking with him as his people. 162, let's stand and sing.
Stars of sleep.
of sacrifice, and death flung stars into space. To cruel days surrendered, this is our God, the servant He. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering. In our lives enthroned Him, each other's needs to prefer. For it is Christ we're serving, this is our God, the servant He. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King.
Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time of praise that we have had tonight. How fitting they are when we think of our text for tonight in the third Beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is all meekness. He said, for I am meek, or I am gentle and lowly in heart. And we thank you for such a Savior tonight. We pray that you will just bless your word to us tonight, O God. Thank you for these opportunities of meeting like this each Lord's Day. Thank you for these times of praise. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is ever relevant. How society changes, but we thank you that the message of your word never changes. For the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thank you that it's this week that we think of his coming into the world to die upon the cross of Calvary. And we think of the events surrounding the passion of Christ, his death and resurrection. We pray it will not just be another Easter season that'll pass by, but we pray that earnest thought will be given to these things. And those who do not yet know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, what a lovely time it would be to trust Him at Easter time. We thank you that Jesus rose from the grave, that He is the first fruits of those who slept. And we thank you for the blessed hope that we have in Christ. And so just bless our time now, we pray. And thank you already for being with us this day. And bless your word that has gone forth. For Jesus' sake, we pray these things. Amen. Now let's read from Psalm 37. Although we're in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, yet just for a background reading to the third Beatitude, Psalm 37 and verses 1 to 13. And David is the writer of this psalm, and he says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look diligently for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. May the Lord bless his word then to your hearts. Now, a warm welcome to church tonight. And don't forget next Saturday night before going to bed, put your clock an hour forward. And then we're going to have more light in going home, and so on from next Sunday, as well as coming to church. And the following are the announcements, slightly changed this week. The Pathfinders at 8 o'clock, and there's no midweek. There's no kids' club on Wednesday night. There's no midweek on Tuesday night, because we are having a Good Friday service. This past several years, we just meet in the back hall here, time of Easter praise like we have had tonight, and a time of prayer, and just reflecting on Calvary. And then I will bring a short devotion from the Scriptures. So I trust that you are able to come out then on Friday night and just make a weekend of it. Come out on Friday night, and then next Sunday is Easter Day. No Sunday school or Bible class because of the school holidays. And morning service, 11:30. And I will be the speaker. And because it's Easter Sunday, believers will meet around the Lord's table after the morning service. And that's always a lovely time. 6:10 our time of prayer, and 6:30 our evening service. And the choir will sing at both services next week. There's bits and pieces of literature on the vegetable table. I'll just draw your attention again to the leaflet advertising the Faith Mission Bangor Convention. And also, those who have your name down for the meal tomorrow night here in the church, the senior meal at 5:30. And if you hope to come and yet you haven't put your name down, you need to put your name down on the sheet so that quantities for food can be known. So please put your name down on the sheet there, and be here strictly for 5:30. And men, don't forget also the Christian Vision for Men event up in the Seven Towers Leisure Centre, when three Ulster rugby players, Johan Muller, Ruan Pienaar, and Paul Marshall, will be giving their testimonies and what the Lord means to them. And there's plenty of these leaflets again on the vegetable table. Now, these are all the announcements, and they're all made in the will of the Lord, and I trust to see you at these events. So let's bring to the Lord our offerings then. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have shown us in your word how we are to live, how we are to please you. You've shown us the way of salvation, that we are on the road to hell and to everlasting destruction and punishment and torment and separation from God. And you've shown us the way of escape. We thank you for Christ and for Calvary, and that he is the way to the Father. There's no other way, only by him. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. And we just pray that you'll impress this truth upon our hearts this night. Bless your word where it is preached tonight. Bless it to our hearts. Bless it to those who are listening in via the internet, to our service here. And bless each one, whoever they are, wherever they are, whatever their circumstances. We just pray that they will know the Lord, or they will find the Lord. And so we just pray that you'll bless in all of these things. Bless our services, Lord. Bless Friday night. Bless next weekend. We just ask you for your blessing upon us here. Again, Lord, bless those who are unwell at the present time that are known to us, that belong to your church here, and other family members. Draw near and bless each one. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's turn again to 465 and sing it through this time. Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God. Now we are considering the Beatitudes on Sunday nights. And as we noticed in the very first night, just a few weeks ago, that the word beatitude is from a Latin word. It's not a biblical a word. It means blessed, and it means happy. And of course, what Jesus said about where happiness is found, certainly the world, I would not look upon these things. But they just flow into each other. They're not spoken randomly. They just follow on from each other. And Matthew 5 and verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And the people would have known that the Lord Jesus was quoting from the Psalms. As we read Psalm 37, you will see that verse is there. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. So maybe the Lord Jesus had that verse in mind. But the very first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And if you are constantly poor in spirit, and even last week, as we noticed, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Those who mourn over personal and national sin, that will make you a meek individual. You will know meekness in your life. Modern translations will maybe use different words, but all meaning the same thing: gentleness, humility, and to be considerate, and to be courteous. So you can see it's a very practical word, as well as it being a spiritual word. One Bible scholar says that it is the untranslatable word. You just can't put meekness into a neat package and to describe it. But it has to do with Christian character. And what an interesting thing to say, coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus. There was a crowd. There were the disciples. And both heard the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm sure the people just had to look around them. And I've no doubt that they would have maybe seen Roman soldiers, because the Lord Jesus was born and he lived and he died in Roman occupation. And every day it would have been one of those sights. It would have been Roman soldiers going about their business. A picture of aggression. And yet Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Because the word meek means this. And any English dictionary will give you maybe a couple of meanings. It means patient. It means long-suffering or submissive. It means humble. And it also means to be spineless, to be spiritless, to be weak. And that's how the world views meekness, as weakness. The opposite of meekness is aggression, is anger, is promotion of self and one's self-interests. And just by way of illustration, it's interesting to notice what Adolf Hitler and Nazism thought about Christianity. And I came across these quotations. And here's what Hitler said. And these were at public rallies and also in private conversation. And he said to some, "It's been our misfortune to have the wrong religion. Why didn't we have the religion of the Japanese, who regard sacrifice for the fatherland as the highest good? The Mohammedan religion, too, would have been much more compatible to us than Christianity. Why did it have to be Christianity with its meekness and flabbiness?" So we actually used the word meekness in running down the Christian faith. Why does it have to be Christianity with all its meekness and flabbiness? Hitler's attitude towards Christianity was that it was a great heap of mystical, out-of-date nonsense. According to Hitler, Christianity preached meekness and flabbiness, and this was simply not useful to the National Socialist ideology, which preached ruthlessness and strength. In time, he felt that the churches would change their ideology. He would see to it. For Hitler, ruthlessness was a great virtue and mercy a great sin. This was Christianity's chief difficulty, that it advocated meekness. I found that very, very interesting. He mustn't have known, or he didn't take much notice of Matthew 5 and verse 5, coming from the words of the Lord Jesus, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Hitler's planned 1,000-year Reich, well, 12 years did him. He was finished. 988 years short. And Psalm 37. What does it say about the wicked? What does it say about the Hitlers of this world? Psalm 37, verse 10. "In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken." And there were evangelical men in Nazi Germany who stood against Hitler and against Nazism. Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Niemöller and other men like that. Meek men. And they certainly were not weak men. They were strong men. And that's just a wee bit of background as to what the world thinks of meekness. It's the meek who shall inherit the earth. It's not the aggressive. Hitler wanted to inherit the earth, to produce this Aryan race to inherit the earth. They never got out of Europe. Yet Jesus says, blessed are the meek. 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years before Hitler, Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And there's just some examples that we can see. We can think of Moses. It is said of Moses in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. Now you're not going to say that Moses was a wimp, that he was weak, that he was flabby. Moses was a strong leader. Moses took no nonsense. In fact, where that verse is in Numbers chapter 12, it's in the context where he was receiving opposition from his own brother and sister, from Aaron and Miriam. Moses could have stood up to them, but he just left the matter in the Lord's hands. Oh, the Lord will take care of it. And the Lord did. The courage of meek Moses. Sure, we see his courage outlined for us in those great verses of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Is that the attitude of a flabby person, of a person with no backbone, a person with no courage? That is Moses, the same man that it said about he was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth, because God made him meek. Because meekness is not a sort of a natural thing. As what is said, meekness is a matter of grace, not genetics. A person may be naturally submissive, spineless, spiritless, or nice by nature. But nobody is meek by nature. Only the new birth can lead to new life. And only by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit can a person be genuinely meek. Meekness is the third beatitude. It's those who are poor in spirit who are meek. It's those who mourn who are meek. And so you can see the order of the beatitudes. The Lord Jesus does not speak them in a haphazard kind of a way. He follows a pattern. He follows an order. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn over their sin, over their sinful state. That keeps you meek, keeps you humble. So we can see meekness and Moses, we can see meekness and the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is outlined in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. It's a fruit to grow in your life. Your poor in spirit, your mourning over sin, and then this character is developed. And maybe before you became a Christian, maybe you were loud, maybe you were aggressive. But then the Lord has worked in your life and changed your life. And He's made you meek. And you grow the fruit of the Spirit. And as one has said, it has nothing to do with being wimpish and weak. It does mean being considerate of others and slow in asserting oneself. It grows out of the new birth, out of being born again. We can think of meekness and relationships. And for example, there's 1 Peter chapter 3, the first four verses. We have a picture here. I could have said not just meekness and relationships, but maybe meekness in the home life. Because here we have a Christian wife with an unsaved husband. How is she going to win him for Christ? Can't be saying to him all the time because he would just get fed up with that. And that's not to rule out words altogether, but just when an opportunity arises to speak for the Lord, but when words don't work, when there's no opportunity for words, there is always opportunity for works as a witness. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing ye wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, or a meek and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight very precious. So those of us who are Christians, we are in different relationships. We mix with people in our homes and outside our homes, in the place of work and so on. And maybe there are those who are loud and aggressive, but you're to be the opposite. You're to have this adorning, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. A gentle and quiet spirit. Not always easy. A gentle and quiet spirit. And that means that you're not insistent on your own rights. You're not pushy. You're not selfishly assertive. You're holding your tongue. You're holding back. And because you're God's child in the situation, just see what the Lord can do here. Which is, in God's sight, is very precious. And why is it very precious? Because such a spirit is the result of quiet and continual trust in God to supply one's needs, and God delights in being trusted. We can think of meekness in the church, in pastoring. Galatians 6 and verse 1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness or a spirit of meekness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. That's how we're to work with people. To show meekness. Meekness in pastoring. Meekness in preaching even. 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 and 25. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. With meekness, God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. Not hammering the individual all the time, not hammering the congregation all the time. There's some people say to me about they go to church on a Sunday and they just seem to get a hammering every Sunday. Well, I don't think you get a hammering from me. There's maybe at times things might be a bit stronger than others, but it's certainly not every week. But there are those who just lament the fact that they just get hammered. They don't get any encouragement. Meekness. Meekness in pastoring, meekness in preaching, meekness in witnessing. Christian, when we have an opportunity to witness, do we do it with meekness? 1 Peter 3, verse 15, but in your hearts honor Christ as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness. Do it with meekness and respect. Not attempting to overpower the unbeliever with the force of human personality or aggressiveness, but trusting the Holy Spirit Himself quietly to persuade the listener. And so you can see when Jesus said about blessed are the meek, it's not just a spiritual word. It's not just a spiritual experience, but it's to be shown practically. And then we think of meekness and Christ. Those well-known words in Matthew 11, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. For I am meek and lowly in heart. We preach a meek Savior. We love a meek Savior. We tell others about a meek Savior. We promote a meek Savior. Meekness was His personal character. He was not harsh, overbearing, and oppressive, but He was meek. He was mild. He was gentle in His government. His laws were reasonable and tender, and it would be very easy to obey Him. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. But the Lord Jesus was no wimp. The Lord Jesus displayed great courage. What about that time in Matthew chapter 2 when He came into the precincts of the temple and there were money changers and it was like a market? And what did the Lord Jesus do? Making a whip of cords, He drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen, and He poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And He told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. And just around this time now, as we have entered the Holy Week, as it's called, leading up to the Calvary next weekend, what the Lord Jesus faced, and He knew what He was going to face. John 13, verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, and the way that he would depart, he knew he was going to be punched about the face. He was going to be slapped. He knew he was going to be spat upon. He knew he was going to be verbally abused. Now, if you knew that you were going to go through that in a few days' time, you would try and get away from it. You would try and escape it. But gentle Jesus, meek and mild, and in the eyes of the world, meekness is a very sad word. No, you've got to be aggressive. You've got to push your own rights. And I opened up with an illustration from Nazi Germany and Hitler. And let me give you, as a close, another illustration that happened in 1935. Hitler had just come to power, and Hans Gisevius was a member of the German military, and he would become one of the leaders in the conspiracy against Hitler. And like most in the conspiracy, Gisevius was a serious Christian. Now, I'm not sure what maybe the author meant by that. He just might have meant he was a devout Roman Catholic. I'm not sure. But one day around 1935, he was in a meeting with Heinrich Himmler and Reinhard Heydrich, who knew of his faith and argued with him about it. Now, you see, the likes of Hitler's henchmen were very, very aggressively anti-Christian. Them all. Bormann and Hitler and Goebbels. They just wanted it wiped off the face of the Nazi earth. The church was going to be removed. Just Nazi ideology was going to be taught. And he was in a meeting with Himmler and Heydrich, and he knew of his faith, or they knew of his faith, and argued with him about it. And this is what Gisevius wrote later on. Heydrich, who took a lively part in the discussion. Now remember, it was Heydrich who was assassinated in May 1942 by Czech partisans in Prague. He was the only leading Nazi in the whole of the Second World War to have been assassinated. Heydrich, who took a lively part in the discussion, paced energetically back and forth in the room. He never quite finished making his point, and as we were taking our leave, he ran after me to get in a final word. Tapping me on the shoulder, he said with a grin, "Just you wait. You'll see the day 10 years from now when Adolf Hitler will occupy precisely the same position in Germany that Jesus Christ has now. 10 years from now when Adolf Hitler will occupy precisely the same position in Germany that Jesus Christ has now." That was 1935. 10 years from now, that was 1945, when Hitler committed suicide in April with Goebbels and Himmler, and Heydrich had already been dispatched in May 1942 to stand before the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Where did all the aggression go to then? 10 years from now, and we have now nearly 80 years on. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. These men are gone with all their words. These men are gone with all their aggression. And we have the meek Savior who is still working in this world, building his church, making a meek people. And this is the promise from his lips. They shall inherit the earth. And some of these days, this world with all its aggression, with all its anger against Christ, because Psalm 2 says, why do the nations rage? And Psalm 37 says as well, the Lord laughs at them, for he sees that their day is coming. And someday, this world with all its aggression and all its aggressors will pass away. But he who does the will of God shall abide forever. Numbered among the meek. Tell me, friends, are you such a person? In order to be in the kingdom of God, you must be poor in spirit. In order to be spiritually comforted, you must mourn. In order to inherit the earth and to dwell on that new heavens and new earth after Jesus comes for all eternity, then you must be meek. There's no other way. There is no other way. And in 2 weeks' time, God willing, we'll come to another very interesting one in verse 6 of Matthew 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. And we're going to sing number 386, Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills the breast, but sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence the rest. Verse 3, O hope of every contrite heart, O joy of all the meek.
Jesus, the Lord.
Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.